You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the
CBS News on the Hour. Presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Officials in Jacksonville, Florida, gave more details about a racially motivated shooting that left three people dead yesterday afternoon. They say a 21-year-old white man shot and killed a black woman in her car, murdered a 19-year-old employee inside a Dollar General store, then fatally shot a male customer. Sheriff T.K. Waters on the racist writings he left behind.
Quite frankly, the diary of a madman. He was just completely irrational, but with his irrational, thoughts, he knew what he was doing. He was 100% lucid. He knew what he was doing.
Three Marines were killed and five critically injured when their helicopter went down in Australia during a training exercise. Reporter Scott Maiman.
The injured were conveyed to Royal Darwin Hospital with a variety of injuries. Australian officials are working with the US Defence Force personnel as they reach out to family members and also start the probe into the cause of the crash. About 150 US Marines are stationed in Darwin.
Tropical storm Idalia is bearing down on Florida and could make landfall on the state's west coast later this week. Governor Ron DeSantis.
You are power dependent, particularly people who are elderly or who have medical needs. Please plan on going to a shelter.
And staying in the weather world, another heat wave is straining the power grid in Texas. Reporter Chris Fox from Austin.
With temperatures expected to top out around 110 degrees, ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, is calling for all residents and businesses to reduce energy use between 4 p.m. and 9 this evening. The grid operator claims expected low wind and potential low solar generation will once again challenge grid stability. It's the fourth consecutive day for the conservation call. So far this summer, Texas has set 10 all-time records for energy use.
Russia is officially acknowledging the death of mercenary group leader Yevgeny Prigozhin in a plane crash. Former CBS News Moscow bureau chief Beth Noble.
There are still some conspiracy theories going around saying that Prigozhin faked his own death or that the Russian government did as part of a deal to let Prigozhin get away. But U.S. and British intelligence have now both said that their own investigations suggest that Prigozhin really was aboard that jet that crashed and that his death was unlikely to have been an accident.
The plane went down 2 months after Prigozhin launched a mutiny against Russian President Vladimir Putin. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A tax evasion case in Wisconsin is shining a light on the ongoing exploitation of marginalized construction workers. More from Mike Mohn.
Gustavo Reyes was sentenced to 18 months in prison after pleading guilty to tax evasion charges. The Department of Justice says Reyes has more than $500,000 in unpaid taxes. Rob Kale of the Construction Business Group says it goes beyond hiding income from the IRS. Reyes was considered a labor broker who served as a middleman between larger project contractors and those hired to work on sites. Kell notes that Reyes's actions align with bad actors in the industry.
In the facts of this case, what they do is they'll just create multiple LLCs to keep evading tax collection. They will label every single person working for them who clearly are their employees, but they'll label them all as independent contractors.
He says workers become exploited in the process because they're paid in cash and are excluded from full wages and benefits, and many are migrant workers fearful of speaking up. Unions say payroll fraud convictions for the trades are rare in Wisconsin. Kale acknowledges not all agencies have investigative resources, but he hopes the sentencing creates more awareness. Bert Johnson of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters says the outcome should serve as a wake-up call to the industry as well.
The people at the very top making decisions about how the workers are going to be treated on their projects, those are the people who need to pay attention to this case.
Cal says it's not just the workers who suffer. He says firms that follow the rules are outbid for projects, while also noting that taxpayers eventually feel the pain. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's Thursday. I think that makes it Friday Eve up in here. How you doing, little buddy?
I am in a great mood today, Crudy. How you doing? Great to see you, Luke. Working hard on the board, our fair audience. Happy third Trump arraignment day. I mean, these arraignments, man, it's not even a big deal anymore, man. It's like the third time in how many weeks?
I don't know, what, a month? It's not even his last arraignment day, Dom. You know, he's going to have another one in Georgia imminently.
Imminently.
I hear there's a joke there somewhere.
We'll worry about it later.
So we're calling this Trump Arraignment Day 3.0. And you can always be a part of this show, Dom, you and the audience. 844-967-2789. My understanding, we got some Brewers tickets, 4 to give away for this Sunday. It's a get better series against the Pirates. They're in town against our beloved Brewers. And we got 4 tickets. Same number of charges Donald Trump went and pled not guilty to in a D.C. courtroom today, Dom.
One Brewers ticket against the Pirates on Sunday to match each count of the Trump indictment. Fantastic. I got a little news here, Crudy, on the Washington Post reporting Trump pleaded not guilty. Damn it. I thought he was going to do the code red. Did you order the code red, Crudy?
GD Wright, I ordered it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That not guilty to charges. He conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election, appearing in a federal courthouse that sits just blocks away from where his angry supporters, rioters, seditionists, stormed the Capitol building in an effort to keep him in power. God, that sounds like a really bad thing. As to counts 1 to 4, how does Mr. Trump plead? The judge asked Trump as he stood at the defense table flanked by his lawyers. Trump raised
strongly
his hand
not guilty
and said not guilty. The judge then reminded Trump that while he would be released, there are conditions with that release that must be obeyed, including that he must not violate any laws. Good luck with that. Must appear in court when required. Must not communicate with anyone known to be a witness in the case unless it is through an attorney. He is next subject to appear on August 28th at 10 a.m. before U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan.
Now, my understanding is Donald Trump was threatening Special Counselor Jack Smith's wife, you know, earlier today. if this federal judge means business and any other defendant, right? would already be remanded over. If they were considered a threat to witnesses, they wouldn't be out walking the streets. If you threaten the prosecutor's wife, how would that look for just a plain old fella? Joe Sixpack Tom. Would he be, you know, limousining off from his arraignment, his four not guilty pleas?
Not a direct threat per se. You have to infer the threat, Crudy. You have to infer the threat. What do you say? Something I got this here, the Raw story, Trump, Jack Smith. Jack Smith's wife is a Biden daughter and produced a fawning Michelle Obama documentary. Oh, that's what Liz Harrington said. What else did he say? Here's what Trump said. In a section of the statement, he went on to smear Smith for being a dirty, politically motivated investigation. He had put some news articles intended to undermine this special prosecutor. One section of the statement was titled, Jack Smith's wife, Katie Shavinji, is a Biden donor. She produced a documentary about Michelle Obama. She has worked as an anti-Citizens United film titled Dark Money. Oh, apparently she's against Citizens United? That makes her a bad person in Trump's view.
But yes,
the former president of the United States throwing out the name, first and last name of the prosecutor. Yeah, you could imply some threat there without a doubt.
Well, Dominic, let's look a little closer to home. There are some headlines. There was what Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, hosted the Morning Cannolis, our fine guest yesterday. What'd he tell us? There was a Wisconsin page in the 45-page indictment of Donald
20,
J. Trump.
Baby.
And here's the headline. Molly back over at the Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways that Ron Johnson, others with Wisconsin ties, appear in the Trump January 6th indictment. Well, Ron, you got a little famouser. You made it into Trump's indictment. Dominic, the plot alleged by federal investigators to ignore the results of the 2020 presidential election and keep Donald Trump in power hinged on slates of Republicans in battleground states like Wisconsin, claiming to be electors for Trump. But the indictment of Trump also includes a cast of other characters, unsavory characters, I'd say, Dom, with Wisconsin ties, involved in the events leading up to the January 6, 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol. And among them are Wisconsin senior U.S. Senator, a former Dane County judge, and an attorney who flew to Wisconsin just last year in an attempt to persuade Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Again, that was in 2022 that John Eastman came. So, Dom, here's a list of people who appear in Trump's indictment with Wisconsin ties. Hometown boys like Osh Vegas' own and former friend of the devil's advocates, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Now, Dom, paragraph 101 of the indictment outlines U.S. Ron Johnson's involvement in a failed attempt to hand slates of false electors to the Vice President Mike Pence on January 6th, about 20 minutes before a joint session of Congress was set to convene, you know, to certify the Biden victory that day. Johnson's chief of staff, Sean Riley, told a staffer for Pence that Johnson wanted to hand deliver to Pence votes from Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan who posed as fake presidential electors for Trump. Want to hand deliver them. Let me be the vessel of malfeasance.
In simpler terms, you know, my recollection, you call someone doing something like that the bag man, just for the record.
Well, I'll just finish the quote here. Johnson needs to hand something to Vice President. Please advise, Riley texted Penn staffer Chris Hodgkin at 12:37 p.m. that day. According to evidence presented Tuesday by the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol, what is it? Hodgson, a former legislative affairs director for Pence, replied, why, it's an alternative slate of electors for Michigan and Wisconsin because the archivist didn't receive them, Riley wrote back. Hodgson told Riley, do not give that to him.
Gruddy, a quote, on the morning of January 6th, an agent of the defendant, Trump, contacted a United States senator to ask him to hand deliver documents to the vice president. The agent then facilitated the receipt by the senator's staff of the fraudulent certificates signed by the defendant's fraudulent electors in Michigan and Wisconsin, which were believed not to have been delivered to the vice president or archivist by mail, the indictment reads, noting that Pence's staffer rejected the documents. Johnson has downplayed the exchange as a staff-to-staff conversation and has said his involvement lasted just seconds. My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds, he told WISN-TV's Matt Smith in August of 22. I think I fielded three texts and sent two and talked to my chief of staff that somebody wants you to deliver something. Deliver something. I don't know what it is. It sounds like Trump waving around the Iran attack plans when he was asked about it. That wasn't paper. There were lots of papers and clippings and things. And you know, it's this circular blah, blah, blah. Back to Molly Beck's reporting. Johnson initially claimed to be basically unaware. Basically unaware. You could just have that on your license plate, sir. Of an effort by his staff to get the fake presidential elector documents to Pence, and later said he coordinated with Jim Troupas, a former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, to pass along such information, and alleged a Pennsylvania congressman brought the slates of fake electors to his office, a claim that was immediately disputed. There's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, still here, Crudy. Johnson also initially told reporters he did not know where the documents came from and that his staff sought to forward it to Pence.
Do you know what Mrs. Johnson's nickname is for the senator? She calls him Speedy.
Pretty. John Eastman also mentioned here. Co-conspirator number two in the indictment is John Eastman, attorney who designed the strategy to leverage a vice presidential ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election, according to the indictment. Eastman also traveled to Wisconsin in 2022 to meet with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to persuade Voss to take action to overturn the 2020 result, which was impossible and illegal.
But consider the fact that Robin Voss still took that meeting. You know what I mean? If somebody came to pitch me on the concept of overturning a presidential election from 2 years ago, something that you've been legally advised a couple of times subsequently, might be illegal, might be impossible.
But you still take the meeting. Jefferson Davis, a former village president of Menominee Falls who launched an effort to persuade lawmakers to undo the 2020 election, said this during a March 22 meeting at the state capitol with Eastman. This man tried to save our country single-handedly on January 5th and 6th when he advised the administration, who was still the president of the United States, that they didn't have to do what happened on January 6th. Eastman was key to a movement in Wisconsin to decertify the election, support for which has waned since. Really? In December 21, Eastman wrote an 8-page memo for former state rep Tim Ramjam.
Oh, your guy!
Who ran for governor on the platform of decertification. The memo concluded the election results could be considered void if voting laws were broken. A number of conservative attorneys and a host of legal scholars reached the opposite conclusion, saying there's no way to reverse an election that had been held a year and a half prior.
But, Tom, that didn't stop more than three dozen county Republican Party chapters in Wisconsin from passing resolutions calling for the decertification of the 2020 election.
Wow.
Hey, folks, it's Arraignment Day 3.0 for Donald Trump. Arraignment Day 4.0, I hear it might be imminent.
Imminent.
We'll be right back. Come back with us.
Turn your home into restricted airspace. Tell incoming flights you want them diverted. The new Raid Essentials light trap plugs into the wall and uses light to attract, then trap, flying insects like fruit flies and mosquitoes. Its 24/7 continuous attraction provides insecticide-free protection that's people and pet friendly. Consider air service interrupted. New Raid Essentials light trap. Insecticide-free protection.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
And you heard all the youth votes going to turn out and make a difference.
Abortion, climate, gerrymandered maps. Those three things matter to young people.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your call is always welcome here at 844-967-2789, or just download the Civic Media app and click on the call button or the text button. It's really simple that way. Crudy, going over the Molly Beck article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here are the ways Ron Johnson and others with Wisconsin ties appear in the January 6th indictment. We already talked about the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, and we also spoke about John Eastman. I'll take the next one, Crudy. Kenneth Chesbro.
Don't be a cheese bro.
Come on, cheese bro. The man listed as conspirator, co-conspirator 5, is an attorney who described himself as a Wisconsin native on his LinkedIn page.
We don't want him.
And accused of assisting in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Ooh, you're an attorney, cheese bro. You should have known better. He sent a memo. All these guys writing memos. He sent a memo on November 18th in 2020 to Troopis, who we'll talk about next, the Wisconsin attorney hired by Trump's campaign to oversee recounts in the state. In that memo, he drafted a plan to establish Republican electors in Wisconsin and other states contested by the Trump campaign. Cheese Bro told Troopis on January 6th of 21 that the real deadline to resolve the Wisconsin presidential contest was January 6th, not December 8th, the safe harbor deadline under the Electoral Count Act that Wisconsin missed, or the December 14th date when electors met in the Wisconsin state capitol to confirm Joe Biden's victory. Quote, assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence end up meeting at the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th to cast their votes and then send their votes to the president of the Senate in time to be open on January 6th, a court decision or perhaps a state legislative determination rendered after December 14th in favor of the Trump-Pence slate of electors should be considered timely, Cheesebro wrote. And apparently that kind of action is what? Implementing a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Obstruction. How very Trumpian of you, cheese bro.
Don't be a cheese bro. Dom, I have mentioned often on this program, if there is one malfeasant Republican legal name you should know, it's Jim Troopis. We should all
Who's
know.
Who's Jim Troopis?
Yeah, who is Jim Troopis? Well, he looks a little like Lord Palpatine from the Star Wars movies. Not a handsome man, not to my opinion.
But that's like pre-Sith burning.
Could go either way.
Come on, man.
Tom, while not explicitly discussed in the indictment, although here on The Devil's Advocates, he's been explicitly discussed many times, the former Dane County judge and Trump campaign attorney, talking about the Troopis, was one of the first to receive the memo from Cheesebro that outlined the fake elector strategy that is central to the indictment. The memo to Troopas came from Cheeseborough with the subject line, "The real deadline for settling a state's electoral vote." It outlined Cheeseborough's legal analysis backing up his suggestion during a conference call with Troopas that, in any judicial review of the canvassing recounting in Wisconsin, we should emphasize that the presidential election timetable affords ample time for judicial proceedings, even if initial errors in the recount require a remand for further recounting. Troopas received the memo the same day he filed paperwork on behalf of the Trump campaign to begin ballot recounts in the liberal-leaning and populist state in Milwaukee counties. And you know who handled the recount in Milwaukee County, Dom? Why, it was Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel and host of the Maggie Dawn Show, our own hero, Maggie Dawn.
We love Maggie Dawn.
Some of the greatest work in this state to protect democracy was done by Maggie right. Dawn. You don't even know, folks. You don't know the half of it, because Troopas, on behalf of Trump, was trying to throw out 200,000 ballots. The memo to Troopas was used by Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, who's named as co-conspirator number one in the indictment.
Number one, baby.
And others to develop a strategy to exploit ambiguities in the Electoral Count Act. And during the recounts of Dana, Milwaukee County, Troopas sought to throw out tens of thousands of absentee ballots that were cast in person, an argument that included tossing his own ballot and his wife's.
Troopas, I will martyr myself for the cause.
And certainly my wife. Troopas and his wife voted early using the state's in-person absentee option, one of the group of voters whose ballots the Trump campaign unsuccessfully asked election officials to deem illegal. I voted illegally. Please throw up my ballot along with like 200,000 others. Now, Dominic, Troopas also contacted U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to get Pence a document on January 6th. Troopas described as regarding Wisconsin electors.
He skipped that fraudulent description.
Johnson said Troopas contacted him by text message and then introduced the attorney to his chief of staff also by text message to handle the request. He said he did not know what the document was or intended to accomplish. Oh, come
and
on,
subsequent
Ron.
Subsequent to that BS, didn't Ron Johnson hire Jim Troopas?
Yeah, just in case there was a recount in the U.S. Senate race in 2022. Or,
wasn't a recount? There wasn't a recount,
there
right?
was no. not a necessary recount because, of course, Johnson won here in the state of Wisconsin. Dom,
so I wonder if you got that 15 or 20 grand retainer back. I just wonder how all that worked.
Well, that was sort of pre-grease in the wheels, Dom. When you give a retainer, they get to retain it and keep it, future work performed.
Yes.
Just perceive yourself to be on retainer here at this radio show, Dom. Yeah. We'll gladly pay you next Tuesday for work you performed today. You're on retainer fella.
I'd rather hold on to your, how's it go? Forget it. The retainer. I'm not going to give you the retainer back, Curtis. That's not happening.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, listing right here on WMDX in Madison, WAUK in the Shaw, all across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Come back with us. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
P.S. I hate you. I've got just one last thing to say. P.S. I hate you. P.S. I hate you. P.S.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters provided more information about the racially motivated attack that killed three people yesterday afternoon. He identified the victims and suspect and spoke more about the racist writings the gunman left behind.
We continue to pray for the loved ones and of those who were lost through this maniac's acts of senseless violence.
An Osprey crashed during a training exercise in Australia, killing three Marines and injuring 20 others, five critically. Northern Territory Chief Minister Natasha Files.
We are triaging at the airport with the National Critical Care and Trauma Response Team with Care Flight, and some are going straight to the hospital.
All eyes are on Idalia, the National Hurricane Center's Jamie Rome.
Monday and Tuesday, potentially bringing a hurricane to the western portion of Florida coast or Florida peninsula. Max winds right now forecast to be 90 miles per hour.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
93.5, The Tap.
I don't know if you know The Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve. Early grievances, phone calls, you know, they're welcome here. 844-967-2789. And you can also text us the shiny new Civic Media app. Dom, here are a few of the early texts during the course of this program so far. One from the 414. Oh, that's Jeff from Shorewood. Starting to become a constant troll now, Jeff. So Crudy, the views. Crudy, the views expressed in the show do not reflect the views of station management. Aren't you head management? Well, no, not head management. I'm somewhere in the food chain, but I would point out Dom speaks often, and certainly he does not reflect the views of any of the management team here. What else we got? There was one other than some Beatles lyrics that was sent our way. Here's one. It's not cheese bro, it's ches bro. Put another way, the E, ease, is like dessert, not desert. And then it goes on to say, making fun of someone's name is not in line with the Civic Media mission statement. Making fun of an incorrect pronunciation is grade school bullying. That's kind of my thing around here. I don't know if you know this. I'm really bad with names. I'm not so much mispronouncing it on purpose. It's just bad at this. This is not my skill set.
No, I'm mispronouncing it on purpose because Wisconsin, it's cheese and it's cheese bro. And
we cheese bro. Like, bro.
Come on,
cheese
bro. So yeah, it's cheese bro.
Who in the world said it's not part of the civic media mission?
Let's put this in context, if we may. If we may put it in context, this guy was part of a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy to overthrow the United States government. Right? He wanted to cancel out my vote and your vote, Texter. So if the worst thing I do is mispronounce purposefully this D-bag's last name, cheese bro,
cheese bro,
so be it. Cheese bro. Come on, man. That's what you're upset about?
You know what I love? I love when people call and text and correct us on the air. That's my favorite thing. 844-967-2789. Now, Dom, I have occasionally accused you of a bad analogy or several. Yeah. I mean, because
you don't know why you would do that.
Well, I don't know why you're so bad at making analogies, Dom. You know, you're really, that's not your strong suit. You've got many, many strong suits. Being short, that's a strong suit of yours. Many, many strong suits.
So sexy.
Oh, sexy. That's part of it. Oh, yeah. But analogies, not a strong suit. But I thought you were bad. And I have now seen the worst analogy ever. And Dom, I think we've got our first nominee for D-Bag of 2023. Why, it's the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, the wanker. Oh, did I mispronounce his name? I mean Walker. Scott Walker says if Trump is culpable, so are Schumer and Sanders. What? Apparently he means for political violence. Like if Trump's charged, so should Bernie be? Let me read the worst analogy of all time from the former gubernator, Scotty Wanker of Wisconsin, argued Wednesday that if former President Trump is responsible for encouraging violence during the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, then so are Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, and Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, for other violent incidents. I don't understand his logic, but I seldom do. Wanker said in an interview with Julie Mason on her SiriusXM show that he expects the federal indictment of Trump for his attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential to have effects during the Republican primary and the general election of 2024. Really what he's doing out here, folks, he's trying to sell tickets to a debate. But I read on. quote from the Wanker. I think there is a sense that when they feel like someone's being attacked, there's a sense of the family of circling around the person and trying to protect them. And I think that's a little bit of it here, he said, referring to Republican primary voters. You know, like, circle the wagons with your assault weapons. People think, well, if these sort of things are worthy of indictment, why are they indicting Bernie Sanders for inciting violence against House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and the other Republicans at the baseball practice? Or Chuck Schumer for the things he said about Supreme Court justices, Walker continued. And then people ended up in violation of federal law in front of their house. Here's what I would say. That is the worst, worst freaking analogy I have ever heard in my entire life. You know that's disingenuous. Bernie Sanders never encouraged violence. Bernie Sanders never told his supporters to go march on the softball practice and, you know, come loaded for bear, stand back and stand by. We're going to see Steve Scalise. There's no implication in any of the words of Bernie Sanders ever that violence was an alternative or a remedy to any problem. I mean, hell, the guy's against the next war. And what Schumer say, you know, that there was delegitimization of the Supreme Court through the leaking of the ruling. I think it was the Dobbs ruling, you know, and people should pressure Supreme Court justices. Well, gosh darn it, Dom, some out stood out there on the street corner. And that's just the same as charging the mound at the U.S. Capitol, killing people, wiping feces on the freaking wall, and, you know, spraying the cops with the bear spray and stabbing them with the flag sticks. Just the same. All same, says Scott Walker. What a jacknut.
Pretty the Hill goes on to report Walker argued that if liberals focus on the past presidential election instead of the future, they're in trouble. I mean, isn't that exactly what your front runner is doing right now? And to your point, Crudy, he also called on Trump to participate in the first GOP primary debate later this month in Milwaukee.
The self-serving, as always, Walker trying to sell some tickets because he's getting overpaid, what, $800,000 a year, heading up the Young Adolphs Foundation. And they're the co-sponsors. So he's selling tickets here. And I mean, this is some damn pathetic stuff, wanker.
100%, Walker said. Conventional wisdom would suggest you're this far ahead, don't go. But he's not a conventional candidate. That's an understatement. He said Trump was a prize fighter who belongs in the ring defending his title. Trump signaled he might skip the debate, recently suggesting it would be a chance for his GOP rivals to compete for his running mate. He could abruptly, I think, put an end to any speculation that anybody is going to be the nominee. But on the flip side, if he doesn't come, obviously he'll find some way to at least garner some attention. But I do think he leaves the door open. Very articulate, that Scott Walker, along with his terrible analogies. Crudy, and I'm with you, man. I think this is, if not of all time, certainly the worst analogy I've heard this entire year.
844-967-2789. I am really, literally starting to hate that guy. I mean, my kid and my wife are like, why do you care about Scott Walker? I'm like, I really wish he would just go away. He's a has-been who was it never was, right? Small-town politician, backbencher in the state legislature, corrupted his way through the Milwaukee County Executive's office and caught an inside straight and became the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And then he went on the national stage and people saw what a real loser he was. Mr. 0.0 out before the Iowa caucuses. I mean, you're the Ron DeSantis before there was a Ron DeSantis. You make Ron DeSantis look good, Scott Walker. But to accuse these Democrats or a guy like Bernie Sanders of inspiring violence, if you're implying there's anything about Bernie that's anything like Donald Trump, I mean, so disingenuous. The guy.
Well,
just,
that's what they're down to. That's what they have to do. What do you think the Biden crime family is all about? I mean, that's exactly what it's about. It's this continual projection by Scott Walker and the mega Republicans accusing others of doing exactly what their guy and their crew have been doing. That is how it works. That's the gaslighting to the nth degree. And I'm just wondering, again, as I say, where's the BS meter? You know, I mean, either do you believe it or are you just going to continue to say these things and claim you hold this mindset and this philosophy for pursuit of greater and greater power? I mean, how does a guy who was underwater in his financial disclosure,
Scott Walker,
his presidential run, all of a sudden land an $800,000 a year job at the YAF.org, a couple of years after being, kicked out of office? What qualities did he bring to that, man? Are you kidding me? I'm really
willingness.
Curious who's funding that YAF. I'd love to see those donors because I'm betting there's some of the same folks that benefited from Scott Walker's decisions here in the state of Wisconsin as governor. Just saying.
Why won't
it's
he
like,
just
I mean, come on. It's just like it's Jared. It's Jared Kushner on, you know, it did the same Scott Walker thing, but on steroids with the Saudis.
Nobody gave Scott Walker $2 billion to fund manage, not the Saudis or anybody else. Because I don't know if you remember, Don, but when he ran for president, Scott Walker went through a litany of jobs he was not qualified to do.
He sure did.
And I think being a fund manager for the Saudis might be one of those jobs. So no one's actually entrusting him with their money.
Scott Walker has just as much experience in fund management as Jared Kushner does, man. He is just as right to get $2 billion from the Saudis as Kushner does. And based on the financial pressure Kushner was under with the 666 building he got from Qatar or wherever, the UAE perhaps, I got to wonder about his capabilities himself. I mean, if you weren't handed the checkbook, did you earn it? I don't know. Those things kind of matter. But what about Walker's history makes him qualified to be the head recruit leader, the youth inspirer of the conservative movement any more than Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from the Saudi sovereign fund to do what? Put in your pocket? Because you gave him Khashoggi and God knows what on the Iran docs? Hell, I mean, Trump was swinging around the Iran documents. Who knows where those things ended up?
You know what qualifies him? Matt and Alex. Yeah. And possibly also the love baby from college, but he never talks about her.
Oh, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Is that Scott K. Walker or Scott P. Walker? I keep forgetting that one.
Well, it's the one who fathered the child at Marquette University, according to the woman who was in the delivery room, the best friend of the impregnated college girlfriend of Scott Walker. But that was the Scott K. Walker or Scott P. Walker.
I forget which one.
The fact that Kevin Dan Walker? Bice let him off the hook so readily because he's like, well, some guy in four counties over also named Scott Walker had a divorce suit? Like, you've been mistaken for someone else's divorce? Like, I think that woman also knew who her husband was. The thought being is Scott Walker never acknowledged the paternity of a child he apparently fathered in college. And apparently, if you believe the now what, PhD doctorate from the University of Minnesota who made the accusations and still, last time we checked with her legal counsel, stands by these accusations against the aforementioned wanker. The parents also pressured the impregnated college girlfriend to have an abortion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how about that?
She did not. She apparently married another man, and that man raised the child, and Scott Walker was absolved of his youthful indiscretions. But you ever wonder why he dropped out of college and ran for the benefits at the Red Cross? Why would a guy, less than a semester away from graduation, quit college and go work for the Red Cross?
To start a life of service to his community, Curdy.
What, to go run against Gwen Moore and get your ass handed to you in an electoral campaign? Because, he was off to politics almost immediately. He eventually won. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. That's Scott Walker. Ugh. Worst analogy ever. And I really don't like you, sir. I don't like anything about you. Come back. More Devils. Hopefully you still love us. 844-96-PARTY.
You.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio. So phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we mentioned briefly, but there's more coverage here. Gerrymandering petition filed with Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm going to the Cap Times. Aaron McGrody on the reporting here. Less than 24 hours after the official swearing-in of Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, the high court is already seeing a challenge of the state's partisan election maps. Why'd it take them that long, Dom? Law Forward, a liberal-leaning nonprofit law firm based in Madison, joined other legal groups Wednesday in challenging district maps they say are gerrymandered and give Republicans an edge in state elections. Well, it's a little beyond an edge. Here's what Jeff Mandel, a partner at Stafford Rosenbaum and board president of Law Forward, had to say in a statement. In the past 12 years, one political party captured the legislature and has insulated itself from being answerable to the voters. Despite the fact that our legislative branch is meant to be the most directly representative of the people, the gerrymandered maps have divided our communities, preventing fair representation. Again, still part of a quote. This has eroded confidence in our political system, suppressed competitive elections, skewed policy outcomes, and undermined democratic representation. Now, Dom, this move comes as little surprise. Law Forward told the Cap Times in April it planned to file suit over the maps as soon as Protasiewicz took her place on the bench and created a 4-3 liberal majority on the court. Protasiewicz, Dom, if you'll recall, during her campaign, said she believed Wisconsin's legislative district maps were rigged, except she didn't use the Trump voice. The petition was filed directly with the state Supreme Court. Now, I would take issue with this, Dom. It's a little too soon for that. You need a district court. You cannot have a ruling if you haven't had a case yet. So I don't believe in original jurisdiction at the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Wasn't this already adjudicated, though, wasn't it? I mean, it went up to the Supreme Court, and then they sent it back and yada, yada. So I don't know. I'd have to talk to some of our legal experts in this regard, but I don't think this is I don't want to speak.
This
out of
is
turn.
A newly filed lawsuit, right? Just dropped. Yes. Waited for Protasiewicz to join the court. So this is fresh litigation. So you can't say there's been a prior ruling on it. It just dropped. So this would not be the proper venue for original jurisdiction. You don't walk into the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court does not hear original jurisdiction testimony. They're not the court where you give the evidence and you put the information out there. The Supreme Court is for perhaps oral arguments, but it is not the place where you go to have a trial. Until there is a trial, it's not ripe for the Supreme Court. That is my opinion. That is not what they're asking. And we've seen the Republicans do the very same thing. So many different times, asked that the court go grab up a case before it was quote unquote ripe, before it was ready for the Supreme Court, before there had been a ruling in a district court or the appellate court. Isn't that where you're supposed to start, Tom? I'm just saying, why would you change the process?
I know, but what I'm not sure about, and again, I'd like to get some of our experts on this, since a case like this, these gerrymandering cases have already gone up to the Supreme Court, right? And if the facts are
New
already
case.
Established in these specific cases,
You don't retry a separate case. This is new litigation brought before the court. You don't go say, well, what about that other case we looked at 5 years ago? No, you look at the litigation being brought before the court. This is fresh stuff, man. You can't just say, well, last time we said what? Let's change that because we've changed the makeup of the court. That's not how it's supposed to work. Even when I wanted to, Dom, even when I want the liberal 4-3 block of the court to rule the way I want it to rule.
I think we're missing something. That's
well, apparently you are. The truth, the right answer.
If that would be the case, Crudy, then obviously the Supreme Court wouldn't take it up, right?
They may reject. They may say we aren't the proper point of jurisdiction yet because there's not a district court ruling. You could skip the appellate process. You could say there's enough gravity to this case. We're not going to wait for the appellate court to rule. But if there hasn't been a district court ruling, if no one's laid out the evidence, had a trial, there is nothing for the Supreme Court to rule upon. They don't hold trials at the Supreme Court. Do you understand that part of the concept? I'm not picking on you, Dom. I'm just saying.
No, I totally understand what you're talking about. I think there's something else that we're missing, as I mentioned. So you can keep on saying the same thing over and over again. But I certainly believe Maggie Dawn or James Santel over your opinion in this case. Although I do certainly appreciate the consistency.
I'll consistently smack you upside your head. You say it like that again. It's not my opinion.
Man.
It's the right answer.
How many times do you want me to say it, dude?
It's the right answer. It's not an opinion. There's only one
844-967-2789. Crudy, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to take the caller, but go ahead. Tell me how wrong I am again.
No, go ahead. Take the caller.
Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I would just like to say that I think Law Forward and the attorneys with the other groups that they're working on probably know what they're doing. At least I would hope so.
Doesn't mean it's the right ruling. Cindy, you can ask. Doesn't mean that that's what the court should do. When the court was a 4-3 conservative court until very recently, think of all the times that the Wisconsin Supreme Court tried to grab up cases before they even made it to the district court level. And the complaint we always made is original jurisdiction. Like, you got to go have a trial, and then the Supreme Court can say, yes, it was a valid trial, or here are the problems with the law. But if you haven't established the facts of the case yet, it's not ready for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, see, I think they have with that whole Whitford thing and everything earlier. I think they have. And not to mention the fact that we're running out of time. We have an election in 2 years. It's going to take at least a good year or so to straighten this out. So the sooner they get working on this, as far as I'm concerned, the better.
Well, there's no doubt there is. Time is of the urgency. And my understanding is they have asked the court to rule on a very abbreviated schedule. They want a ruling by like next March. Because they have to set new maps in time, Cindy, to actually utilize these maps to run new districts next year. Here's the problem, though.
Yep.
Just because we want it to happen that quickly doesn't mean it will.
Because the Republicans are going to appeal it anyway.
Well, there would be no higher court of appeal, although perhaps the U.S. Supreme Court. You could run off to the federal courts if you didn't like the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and I fully suspect they will, Cindy.
Yep.
But I don't know what you're running up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court with yet. You don't have a case yet.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see, Cindy.
We'll see. Thanks for the call, Cindy. Appreciate it. I'm kind of with Cindy on this
967-2789. I'm not saying Jeff Mandel and the boys and girls down at the Law Forward aren't smarter than yours truly. But I am a consistent guy, and I don't think that is the proper way it works. And we've had legal experts tell us this before. I just listen closer than some panelists.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart concerned about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. This is 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.